Welcome to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Think about it. Our view of God determines what we think on all moral, cultural, and economic issues. It even determines how we vote. Hope for the future of our country and our world lies in our ability to make God the issue in every issue. Today, we're going to talk about the Constitution. The Constitution is our king and where Christians owe their allegiance. Brad Bright, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here, Jim.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I've never really heard this idea that the Constitution is our king. Let's step back a little bit, though, and get some biblical perspective on this. Brad, what does the Bible say about our responsibility to our government and its leaders?
Well, you know, Romans 13 makes it very clear we're to be subject to the governing authorities, right? Crystal clear. We're to be subject to the governing authorities. And then, of course, in Matthew 22, Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. So again, once again, even Jesus said, we're to be subject to our rulers. And in Jesus' case, he appealed to the ultimate authority in Rome at the time, which was Caesar himself. So that's the context of where we're going. We are subject to the ruling authorities because God has established those authorities. And that's why we're subject to them, because God established them. And that's critical to understand.
All right. So where does government leadership... So you're saying the government leadership is coming from God.
Yes. Now then,
I've met some government leaders. I don't know about that. I mean, that's kind of hard to reconcile.
Now, the scriptures say government was established by God. It was established by God. It doesn't mean all of those leaders used their authority properly. Scripture never says be subject to the ruling authorities because they are perfect, or because every decision they'll make is the perfect decision, or is even the godly decision. But that's also while we're instructed to pray for our leaders too, so that they'll make wise decisions, right? But we'll get to that a little later.
Okay. All right.
The point is government is established by God.
Paul took a lot of time. He was very specific in addressing the Apostle Paul. We're talking about here. In addressing this to the Romans. I mean, this was something he's like, I got to take a time out and make sure people know this is a scriptural approach to this. Talked about. Why? Why did he do this specifically to the Romans? Because he could have written it to the Ephesians or anybody else. But why to the Romans?
Well, here's the thing. Now, this is before persecution hit the church. We need to be clear about that. Persecution did not come into the church. So it wasn't about being a good citizen in persecution. It was just a very practical thing. And I think Paul doesn't say explicitly why, but I think a lot of it just has to do with our witness. You know, whether it was the Romans or anyone else, our witness as followers of Jesus is critical. How we behave, how we relate to those in authority. You know, Paul said, show honor where honor is due. Show respect where respect is due. These people, God has placed them in authority, so we should show respect where respect is due. If God put them there in authority, we should respect that authority. But it's about our witness. If we're going to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ, and we're always rabble-rousing and complaining and grousing and kicking against the goads, as Jesus said, then how are people going to regard us? They're going to regard us as unnice people. We're not likable people. And the thing about the gospel is it's compelling, and it's the love of God in the gospel that compels us. And so if we're not demonstrating the love of God, and if we're always complaining and trying to kick against the government, people aren't going to view us that way. I think it's very, very, very practical. It's about our witness to culture.
Wow. That turns it on its head a little bit. It's about our witness to culture. And I think that as we get into the next segment of the show, we're going to really talk about the basis of our Constitution, where it came from, and why our founding fathers were so specific. But Brad, just one last question about this biblical view of government. There's lots of forms of government all across the globe. You know, there's democracies. We have a constitutional republic. There are dictatorships. There's all different kinds of, there's crazy mixed up places. As believers, we get treated differently under each one of those types of government. Is our response supposed to be the same no matter what our ruling authority is?
Well, our responsibility to the ruling authorities is the same. The same response, no matter what kind of, whether you live under a dictatorship or a democracy or a constitutional democracy or some sort of a hybrid of those, the principle is exactly the same. But how you apply it changes. Now, the one thing you have to carve out is when those authorities violate God's law, we can't go along. Cannot go along with that. And that's like the Civil War. The government was violating God's laws, and enough people finally came to their senses and said, this has to stop. So when the government violates God's laws, we have to oppose the government. But apart from that, yes, we're to be model citizens to the best of our ability.
Wow. When we come back, we're going to dig deeper into who is the king in a constitutional republic. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm Jim Brangenberg, and we'll be right back.
Want to know more about how you can make God the issue in every issue? Get your copy of Brad's book, God is the Issue. Now in its third edition, you can get your ebook copy at brightmedia.org. Even better, if you subscribe to this podcast, you'll receive a coupon for one free download of God is the Issue ebook. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and get God is the Issue ebook today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast as we talk about, you know, who's the king? Is the Constitution our king? Where do Christians owe their allegiance right here in the United States of America? So, Brad, our country's founders set up us as a country as a constitutional republic, not a democracy. What's the distinctive there?
Well, the distinctive is in a democracy, everybody has a direct vote on everything. And when you have over 300 million people in your country, you can't run it that way. So in a republic, what we do is we as citizens delegate our authority to a representative who we elect to go represent us in order to do the work of government. So the difference is I, as an individual in a constitutional republic, I don't try to run the government. I delegate that responsibility and I do it at the ballot box. And that's the difference.
So what role does the Constitution play in our great country?
Well, the Constitution is king, right?
No, I don't understand. When you said that in the run-up to this, I don't understand that. I've never, ever heard that before.
Well, what is in Rome, who is the source of ultimate authority?
Caesar.
In America, who or what is the source of ultimate authority, and how do we know that?
The media.
Sometimes you think that's the case, wouldn't you? No. When the president swears his oath of office, what does he swear to do?
To uphold the Constitution.
To protect and defend the Constitution. When a senator or a congressman is sworn into office, what do they swear to do?
Uphold the Constitution.
When a military man, a member of the military is sworn into the military, what do they swear to do?
Defend the Constitution.
Defend and protect the Constitution. When a judge is sworn into office, what does he swear to do?
Abide by the Constitution.
To protect and defend the Constitution. Yeah. The judges do not swear to protect and defend the president. Congress and Senate do not swear to protect and defend judges. All of them swear to protect and defend the Constitution. They swear an oath of loyalty to the Constitution, to the United States. Just like in Rome, you swore an oath to Caesar. In America, you swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. Therefore, the Constitution is our source of ultimate authority, and therefore, the Constitution is our equivalent of a king. That's where ultimate authority lies in our constitutional republic.
I never, ever thought of it that way, that we have put the Constitution in place of the king. So that's what our founding fathers were trying to do. They were trying to eliminate the king. They didn't want kings in America. And so they made the Constitution the king, but they made it so that it was an unchanging document, that it was, this is what it was. And whereas a king could change his mind, the Constitution, this is what it is.
They made a way of changing the Constitution, but it's very difficult. And we'll talk about that a little later.
Well, no. Let's talk about it right now. It was as good a time as any. That when they were so specific at setting up the Constitution in the wording and how they did it, and they took a lot of time in getting it done. You know, they made the Declaration of Independence in 1776, but the Constitution was ratified and put into place later in the 1780s. They made it difficult to amend. How difficult is it to amend, and why did they do this?
Yeah, it's very difficult to amend. And the most basic reason is so you wouldn't have tyranny of the majority. And so that you wouldn't have these huge swings as culture changed. They didn't want these huge dramatic swings to happen quickly. They wanted change to happen slowly. They wanted there to be a lot of deliberation. But most of all, they did not want tyranny of the majority. And when you can easily change a constitution, that gives the majority an incredible amount of power. And they did not want to put that sort of power into the hands of a majority who, for whatever reason, could get whipped up into a frenzy and do something really stupid or do something that's really harmful to a minority within that country. Either you could be a racial minority, it could be an ideological minority, but they did not want to give power to the majority to be able to bring about change quickly, because that rarely ends well.
Of course, I mean, you got to be cautious with this question, but I'm going to jump right in, because it sure seems like today a lot of ignoring of the Constitution happens, and we do have these major swings because we've got branches of government that are acting not like the branch they're supposed to be. The executive passes laws, they call them executive orders. The judges pass new laws by saying that, you know, they make rulings and create laws instead of sending it back. I mean, we've got all this stuff going back and forth. What do we do with this? If the Constitution is a king, what do we do when things seem a little messed up?
Well, again, I can't make that decision for someone else. But here's reality. As you look at the courts, you look at the courts and see the Constitution gave them authority to do this much. But unfortunately, they've taken the power to do this much. And so you have to say they have abused their authority in many cases because they went outside the Constitution to make some of these decisions. In other words, they've made illegitimate decisions. They made decisions contrary to the Constitution. But what do I do with that? At the end of the day, I have to ask for Brad Bright. What does it mean in this case to obey the Constitution? I can't ask that for you, Jim. But I can ask that for Brad Bright. What does it mean to obey the Constitution and the intention of the Constitution? Is it okay for me just to reinterpret the Constitution however I want in light of current culture? Or is the Constitution king? Who's king here? Brad Bright, so I can reinterpret the Constitution, or the Constitution so that I have to show my allegiance to the Constitution?
And when we come back, we're going to dig into the answers to those questions and make God the issue in this issue. As we talk about, the Constitution is our king right here on the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. It's that new concept, the Constitution. That's our king. We'll be right back.
Brad Bright travels the country speaking and training people how to make God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org. That's brightmedia.org to find out how you can bring Brad's highly interactive workshop to your area. It's fun, engaging, and most important, it will help make you more effective in making God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org. That's brightmedia.org and schedule Brad today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast as we talk about the Constitution is your king. And what is our role? What are our duties as a Christ follower in the United States of America in relation to the Constitution? Brad, during our break, you had a fear that you were sharing with me, and I think it'd be fair for you to share that fear with our audience today.
Yeah, my fear in this conversation in saying the Constitution is king is I don't want everybody to say, well, now I become my own authority on what the Constitution means. I'm going to obey the Constitution, and I'm not going to obey this elected official over here. The problem with that is, in order to understand the Constitution, not only do you have to know what the Constitution says, but you have to go back and read the original writings of the Founding Fathers to understand what was their intent behind what they said. If you don't understand the intent, you could easily misinterpret what the Constitution actually means. So my goal isn't to set up everybody as their individual authority. But my goal is to begin having the conversation. What does the Constitution say here? And what is that? What's the implication on my life by that? But it's a conversation we do need to have.
Okay, but you just said, what was their intent? I mean, these guys are dead. I don't know. I know you know that. These guys are dead. How do we know what their intent was? We, you know, there's no read between the lines. There's no fine print. There's no appendix to the Constitution that says, and by the way, this is what we meant by this word and this word. How do we know what the intent is of the founders?
Well, you know, they had all these debates, and they have all these writings surrounding what were the issues going on at the time. And we can go back and read those writings. I mean, there are volumes and volumes and volumes that are recorded that will give us context for the decisions of why they wrote the Constitution the way they did. So it's all there. It just takes some time and some reading.
Okay.
Now, not everybody's going to do that, but the key is then to go find the people who have done that reading, who have done that work, and to say, okay, what does it mean in this case? And that's what we need to be doing. Even I'm not that authority.
All right, so let's finish taking this conversation to its conclusion and make God the issue in this issue. What should happen when someone violates their powers assigned by the Constitution?
Well, if they violate their powers, we know they need to hold them accountable. Now, the Constitution gave us a way to do that. It's called the vote. It's called the ballot box. And if you're not voting, then you're not holding them accountable. It really is that simple. That is the primary way that we hold our elected representatives accountable. It's through the ballot box. So to say I'm not going to vote is to say I'm not going to hold them accountable to uphold the Constitution, who is our king. In other words, you're going to say, okay, it's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. If you don't want to obey the king, fine. I'm not going to tattle on you. You just go do whatever you want. Well, I don't think that's an option for a believer. As a believer, we have to hold our elected representatives accountable to the king. And if they violate the king's orders, we need to call them on it in no uncertain terms.
Okay, but some people are elected for 6 years. That's a long time to tolerate somebody violating the Constitution. When we see an injustice or a violation of the Constitution, what is our recourse? How do we fight back? How do we make God the issue here?
Well, again, that's why the vote is so important. Guy's in there 6 years, and you put him in there, or we put him in there. I mean, that's why it's so important. We really look at it and say, is this first and foremost a person of character? And secondly, ask the question, based on their track record, what are they likely to do? How are they likely to legislate? Too many times we listen to their words and we don't go and do the hard work of finding out who this person really is. Who do they have around them? What sort of persons do they listen to? Who are the people they have on their staff? I mean, that's an important, because what I learned in politics is personnel is policy. The people you have on your staff are the ones that will implement the policy. And if they don't like the policy, they're not going to implement it, are they? Or if they like a different policy, they're going to go a different way. So we need to look at the people they have around them. We need to look at their track record, not what they're saying today, but their track record. And sometimes the track record conflicts. Now, then once they're in office, you're a little more limited what you can do, but you can certainly write your congressman. You can go into your community and you can organize people, say, everybody call your congressman, everybody call your senator on this issue, tell them what you think. And the reality is, if enough people call, these guys tend to listen. Unless they're just hardcore committed to issue X, Y, or Z, if you make enough of a stink, they're going to listen to you. Because why? They want to get reelected next time. That's why.
Yeah, term limits would be such a great idea. Sometimes I think that. Okay, so in relation to the Constitution and my civic duty as a Jesus follower, so I'm a citizen of heaven and of the United States of America, how do I exercise my civic duty properly? You've talked about voting. You've talked about some of the things we do after somebody's elected. But sometimes it just seems like that's not enough. Make God the issue for me in this, Brad. Tell me how I activate my faith when I'm recognizing the Constitution as my king and I'm seeing somebody violate my king.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm a baker or a florist, and a government official comes along and tells me to do something that's not constitutional, that is unconstitutional, it is my duty to obey the Constitution. And it is my duty to disobey that elected official, to oppose them to whatever degree I have to. And it may be to my own personal detriment. It may be out of my own financial demise, but it is my duty before God to oppose them and to call them on the carpet and not bow down to a government official who is disobeying the king. It is my responsibility under God to obey the king. So that has implications. And here's the critical point. That is not civil disobedience. Obeying the Constitution is not civil disobedience. That's obedience to the Constitution. It's the rogue official who is being disobedient. It's my job to hold them accountable under God.
Any final thoughts on this issue of the Constitutioners or King? Any final thoughts, Brad, for our audience today?
It's an issue of moral obligation. It is your moral obligation to uphold the Constitution under God because the Constitution is established by God. And because God exists and God is the issue, I'm accountable to God to uphold the Constitution and to oppose anyone who doesn't. Primarily through the ballot box, but sometimes that means getting in front of the camera and saying, you're wrong and you need to change. And elected officials, sometimes we need to call them on the carpet.
I think maybe lots of times we need to call them on the carpet. Brad Bright, great conversation today about the Constitution is our king. And I love the fact that you've taught a lot of us a lot of new things today we didn't know. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for joining us today on the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. Remember, check us out online, brightmedia.org, brightmedia.org. We have phenomenal resources out there for you out there on our website, brightmedia.org. Remember, always be kind, compassionate, and shrewd while making God the issue in every issue.